Hello, my friends. I hope everybody's having a great day. Namaste, tashi dale, good afternoon, good evening, good morning, depending on where you are. Spreading my love to all of you. I hope you're all feeling good and happy. Today, I want to talk about something that's very near and dear to my heart, which is the topic of compassion. A lot of people have a misunderstanding about compassion, so I'd like to spend some time today clarifying the definition of compassion and some of the many, many benefits that come as a result of compassion. So let's get started. First of all, the benefits of compassion might be very different than you think. Many people think of compassion as something that will benefit others. And you may be very surprised to learn that that's not the case. It does benefit others, for sure. But it's not just others. Having compassion can have a very, very powerful series of benefits for the person that's giving the compassion. So we'll talk about that today. Now, let's define compassion. A lot of people have heard the word compassion, but maybe they don't know exactly what it is. I'm going to give you the Buddhist definition of compassion. It is the simple wish for other sentient beings not to suffer. Now, one thing that I want to clarify about that is when we say the wish for other sentient beings not to suffer, we're talking about every sentient being, not just your friends, not just people who are, you know, nice or good or kind, all sentient beings. So compassion is the wish for all living beings to be free from suffering, from the smallest microscopic bacteria that's alive, all the way up to the largest whale or the largest mammal. And this is really important, is we don't want to have limited compassion because it will be of a limited benefit. If we have infinite compassion, the benefits will be infinite, which is very important. Okay. Another thing is we might assume that compassion is mostly beneficial for others, but as I mentioned a moment ago, it's very, very beneficial for the person who's holding the compassion because it can have helpful physical benefits, very, very helpful mental benefits. And therefore, it actually helps the object of the compassion and the person holding the compassion. So it's very good. And one thing that I want to point out before I start to talk about some of the benefits of compassion is that all sentient beings are the same. We all want happiness and we want freedom from suffering. And we all have awareness. We all have the same awareness. Every living being's awareness, which we call Buddha nature, and many religions do have a word for this. Like the Christians may call this spirit or the Holy Spirit, which is this kind of inner awareness that makes us alive. You know. So anyway, the thing about all of us is we all have natural awareness. And we want freedom from suffering and we want happiness. And that's pretty much what everybody wants. So it's really good to ground ourselves in knowing that we all want the same thing. Okay. Now, some of the many benefits of having compassion. Number one, it can reduce isolation. So in the modern day, there's a lot of people that are lonely, or maybe they feel unseen or unheard, or they feel like nobody understands them or nobody cares about them. And part of the problem with modern life is that we are kind of set up to be selfish. We get everything we want and we have this mentality of me, me, me. And everybody else has this mentality of me, me, me. So what compassion does is it reduces our isolation because it connects us to others. We're thinking more about them. We don't feel so alone because in our minds, we're holding all of these living beings. In Tibetan Buddhism, we talk about trying to see every sentient being like our own mother or like our own, like our only child. Okay. So it reduces our isolation. Also in life, we all suffer a lot of setbacks, such as not getting what we want or getting what we don't want. And we have a lot of loneliness, emotional pain. A lot of us have physical pain. So when we suffer from these things, we can call to mind that there are infinite other beings right now with the same pain as me. And this pain is not unique, whether it's emotional pain or physical pain, anger, desire for somebody or something, a feeling of being unfulfilled, a feeling of being lonely, whatever the problem is. There are infinite other sentient beings right now with the same problem. And in Tibetan Buddhism, we have a practice called Tonglen, which is giving and taking. And what we do is we visualize all these sentient beings with this suffering. Let's say you're sick. Instead of being ultra focused on your own sickness, you think about the fact that there are infinite other sentient beings with the same sickness and or sickness in general. And then you can visualize all of them and visualize taking their sickness on top of your own sickness. And then imagine that they're all happy and blissful and free and feeling great. That's a very, very powerful practice because it makes us forget about our suffering. So instead of us grasping a self and being self-obsessed, we actually cultivate more compassion as a result of our own setback. So again, remembering that we all want the same thing. Every living being wants happiness. They want freedom from suffering, okay? And so if you recollect that whenever problems come up, it's going to reduce your isolation. Not only do we all want the same thing, but we're all suffering from the same thing, whether it's a physical ailment or it's an emotional or mental health problem. Everybody pretty much wants the same thing, okay? Another thing that having compassion can do for us is it can reduce our self-grasping and self-cherishing. And these are, kind of like the evil inner demons that we all have. You think about an external demon or enemy or whatever, one person can only really harm you during this life. But if you have self-cherishing and self-grasping, it will harm you for infinite future lives. And it will harm everybody else around you. So if you have one enemy in the world, they can only really harm you. But if you have self-cherishing and self-grasping and selfishness and self-obsession, you harm yourself by being that way, and you can harm infinite other living beings. Look at the war in Russia. One person was self-cherishing and obsession about his country and his people, me, right? He's willing to kill hundreds of thousands of sentient beings in Ukraine so that he can get what he wants. You know, just think about that for a moment. So there's a great deal of power and benefit with compassion. One of the main ones being that it reduces self-grasping and self-cherishing. And remember, self-grasping and self-cherishing are the fuel that creates anxiety, hopes, fears, sadness, depression, loneliness, anger, confusion. Like there's just a long line of problematic qualities that arise from self-grasping and self-cherishing. Another thing that happens when we cultivate compassion is it helps us forget our own struggles, which reduces our fixation on ourself, and it reduces our hopes and our fears. So by cultivating compassion and trying to keep others in mind, we can stop worrying so much about getting what we want or not getting what we want, or, oh my God, what if this happens or that happens? If you can just let go of some of that for a moment and start to think about all other living beings, no matter what problem you're having, you can flip it and forget about how it affects you and think about how many other people are suffering from the same thing. And when you do that, it's going to help you forget the self, which is the root of all suffering. By the way, I'm not suggesting that there's something wrong with you or us. I'm not saying that. It's not about self-hatred. It's about understanding that the self-obsessive thought, the thought of me, is kind of like ingesting poison because it just creates immeasurable harm for us and for others, okay? So if there's anything we can do to produce an antidote to the self-obsession and the self-cherishing, then it's going to be extremely beneficial because instead of us being constantly addicted to the self, we will begin to let go of it, and that self-obsession can dissipate. If there's a feeling of deeply rooted compassion in our chest, then we definitely forget about all our hopes and fears, if it's even if it's on a temporary level. So I don't know if any of you have ever watched a movie and a movie made you cry, perhaps. I'm notorious. I always cry in movies. Good movies make me cry. And when I'm feeling that compassion or that love for the actor on the screen, what it does is it creates a physical feeling in my chest. And it's just a feeling of pure love or pure compassion, or I don't know how to describe it. I think most of you know that feeling that you have in your chest when you have deep concern for others. And so that makes us forget about our hopes and our fears, about our self-obsession, which is really beautiful. And when we're fixated on the self, it makes us miserable 24 hours a day. It makes us miserable 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we never have any real happiness when we're selfish and we're thinking about ourselves. Because everybody in the world, for the most part, has some selfishness. And if we're selfish and they're all selfish, then we're just running into each other. It's like we're boxers in a boxing match trying to get what we want, no matter what they want. We don't care what they want. So it really creates immeasurable harm and unhappiness in us when we're constantly fixated on what we want. So by cultivating and familiarizing ourselves with the simple wish that all sentient beings be free from suffering, we begin to remove much of our own suffering that comes from self-fixation and self-importance. It's almost like pulling a splinter, a really painful splinter, out of your foot or your finger or toe or whatever. Imagine you have a splinter on your finger and it's infected and it's oozing pus and it's extremely painful and sensitive. That's kind of what selfishness is. It causes so much damage for us. So if we can cultivate compassion, it's kind of like pulling out that really painful splinter, okay? It creates space for forgiveness. So when we have compassion, it opens up the possibility of us forgiving people who have wronged us, or people who have wronged others, or people that we perceive to be bad for whatever reason. So one, you know, difficult aspect of interacting with others is that we get mad, we have resentments, we hold grudges against people who have harmed us. There are people that legitimately do bad things in the world. You know, there are people that don't take care of their kids. There are people that shoot and kill others. There are people that beat others, that rape others, that murder other people. There's so many, you know, very negative actions going on in the world. So it's not to say that they're right, because they're not right. We don't want to harm anybody, right? That's we always kind of, the first thing in Buddhism is non-harming. But here's the thing, if somebody does harm us and we hold on to that, it's kind of like taking a hot coal out of a fire and squeezing it and thinking that it's going to harm the other person. It's not going to harm them. It's going to harm us first and foremost. It's going to create immeasurable damage for us. So if we methodically set out to cultivate compassion, we actually make space for forgiveness. And that gently brings happiness to others and ourselves at the same time. So by creating compassion, especially for those who wrong us, we're creating space for forgiveness. You know, it's interesting, when we hold a grudge or maintain anger towards somebody, it creates tension in our hearts. So by cultivating compassion, we can make this space for forgiveness, and we can remove this tension so we can be more comfortable, peaceful, carefree. One Tibetan prayer book that I do it starts out the very first thing. It says, all sentient beings, especially those enemies who hate me, obstructors who harm me, and those who create obstacles on my path to liberation and enlightenment, may they be separated from suffering. Let me just recite it. All sentient beings, especially those enemies who hate me, obstructors who harm me, and those who create obstacles on my path to liberation and omniscience. May they experience happiness, be separated from suffering, and quickly I will establish them in this state of unsurpassed, perfect, complete, and precious Buddhahood. So we're literally saying those people who harm me, whatever they do, they hate me, they harm me, may I establish them in happiness, freedom from suffering, and in fact, may I bring them all the way to Buddhahood. Because that's the thing about Buddhism is we believe in cause and effect. And since we believe in cause and effect, we believe that if you create the causes, the effects will come. So if we create the causes for Buddhahood, we can become Buddhas. And we can take people who are harmful to us and we can help them become Buddhas. It's very, very powerful. Compassion actually releases healing chemicals inside of us. And so compassion is a powerful antidote to anger. One of the things that some of you might have heard of is there's a saying called a type A personality. A lot of people who are very structured and I guess a little bit aggressive, you know, like a take charge type personality. There's a saying called type A personality. A lot of people don't know this, but back in the 1960s and 1970s, a cardiology physician up in San Francisco discovered that people that have a certain type of personality, like a type A, like a hard charger, ambitious, aggressive, assertive, take control, right? That type of personality leads to anger. And that anger leads to harmful physical problems in the body, namely one of them being heart disease, heart attacks, and so forth. And so when we have compassion, it's the total opposite of that. It releases helpful, beneficial chemicals in the body. They did studies on people who give hugs to others and people who don't hug other people. And those who hug others have stronger immune systems, and it releases not dopamine, but I forget the name of the chemical. It basically releases very beneficial chemicals inside of our body that protect us and heal us and strengthen our immune response and increase our immune system and reduce inflammation and all these other negative markers. So it reduces, when you have compassion, it's going to reduce the likelihood that you would have a heart attack, the likelihood that you would have a lot of physical problems, because a lot of physical problems are born out of mental stress. This is fairly well known. Instead of letting anger arise when someone hurts us or hurts others, we might have a tendency to be angry and hateful towards them. However, if we cultivate compassion for the perpetrators of harm, it will help us reduce our anger and release healing chemicals. It's really fairly easy to have compassion for a victim, you know, the animal who's in pain, or the person who has been attacked by another person, or the person who, as a result of somebody doing something really, selfish or unthoughtful to them, is suffering. It's easy to have compassion for them, and of course, we want to have compassion for those people. But what about the mass shooters who go out and shoot everybody? You know, can you hold compassion for them? What about the Donald Trumps? There's a lot of people that disliked Donald Trump when he was president. Can you hold compassion for him? What about President Putin and Russia? Can we hold compassion for them? See, a lot of people believe that there's only one type of way to feel towards others, and it's either like or dislike. So a lot of people believe that if you have compassion, it means you lay down and you give up. And that's not the meaning of compassion. In fact, and there are stories and allegories in the Buddhist sutras. Buddha in a previous life was he was on a ship, and there was another shipmate who was going to kill 150 people so that he could steal the ship or whatever. And Buddha actually went and killed that individual. This was not Buddha's current life, but his past life. He went and killed that person to protect that person from his own negative karma. And of course, he protected 150 people in the process. So when you think about compassion, the Buddha killed that individual out of compassion. Now, I would be very careful to suggest that you go out there and hurt another person, unless your heart is very pure with love and kindness. But the point is, compassion is not passivity. Compassion does not, if we have compassion for Putin, it doesn't mean that we let him do what he does. In fact, you could go as a soldier and go to war against Putin and still have compassion for him, but know that he's doing the wrong thing because he's ignorant and confused. So that compassion actually helps us to see things clearly. But we also have compassion for the Ukrainians that he's harming. So if we would go and take action and use power and force to remove Putin so that he could stop harming others, but the same moment we could have compassion for him, okay? So that's a nice, you know, list of the benefits of compassion. The other thing I would say is people might really believe that compassion is weakness. Compassion is not weakness. Compassion is strength, because when we have compassion for others, we're more rooted and we're more grounded and we're more comfortable. We're not thrown away and dominated by our emotions like anger, hostility, aggression, fear. If you have compassion, most likely there's no fear in your mind. There's no hatred. There's no aggression. So I think compassion is strength, right? Because when you have compassion, you're strong. Look at Gandhi. Gandhi's a great example. Gandhi single-handedly drove the British out of India. The British used to rule India, and Gandhi, by non-aggressive means, he drove the British out of India. He starved himself. He went on he went on a starvation protocol to get the Brits to leave India, and it worked. And that was pure compassion. It was non-harmful. He didn't kill anybody. He didn't take up arms. He understood something, which is that hatred only begets hatred. When you are hateful or violent to somebody, they only respond with hatred or violence. If we're compassionate to somebody, most likely they're going to respond with compassion. Okay. So that's my teaching on compassion. There are some guided meditations on my channel, so you can feel free to do some of those guided meditations. And if you have any questions for me about these teachings, leave a comment below the post or below the video or below the podcast. I'm very open and willing to tailor some of these talks and teachings in a way that really benefits you. So if you have any requests for me, there are many ways to get a request to me on YouTube or on my podcast or on my website, which is tastinginfinity.wordpress.com. So, all right. I love you all. I dedicate the merit of this teaching to all Mother sentient beings, and I especially dedicate it to, I believe the dog's name is either Sammy or Roxy. I don't know why I have those two mixed up, but I dedicate my merit that arose or will arise from this positive activity. I dedicate all my merit to that dog. May that dog be free of suffering, and may all of her sores, she has these really bad skin sores and infections, may all of her sores be completely eliminated and removed, and may the merit that I've created here become like healing nectar for her, okay? So anytime we do something positive, we always dedicate the merit, which is how you protect the positive action that you did so that it doesn't get harmed or removed by anger and stuff like that in the future. So I dedicate the merit of this teaching to all living beings. I love you all. I send big hugs to you all, and may you be happy.